Good afternoon, everyone. We'll get the session started, and hopefully, if there are still people outside, they'll hear the fact that it's begun and come in quickly. In your schedule, this appears as PKP and Leading Edge Developments, and it's probably the only one that has a truly collective identification in terms of the speakers as the PKP development team. And actually, this is momentous in some ways because I think this is only the second time in our history of the project that the actual PKP development team's been in the same place, the same room at the same time. And it only happens about once every year and a half or so at the current rate. Because this is a session that we're hoping to have a little bit more of a kind of a technology overview on what's happening with the PKP software suite and some of the directions it's going, we're going to borrow one of the sorts of conventions that are often used at more sort of technology or IT type conferences. We also thought, considering how long it's been today in terms of you're now into the 4:15 to 5:15 session, the more we can do to kind of keep you awake and alert, the better. So we're going to borrow something that's known as a sort of bottle of the thunder and lightning presentations, which mean that they'll either last 5 minutes or 10 minutes. We're going to try and do them in 10 minutes, and you're going to hear from a whole sort of different set of people here. And we're going to be very strict about the timing also. They know that they get 10 minutes and no more, then we'll move on to the next speaker. But first of all, I do really want to take this opportunity to finally be able to introduce the development team here to everyone at the conference. Because what you may not realize is you probably already know a number of the people sitting up here. It's just that you've only ever been in communication with them via email or by the PKP support form or via some of the excellent documentation that's up on the PKP website. So I'll just start this way and work down. First of all, immediately to my left here is Alec Schmecker. Alec is a graduate of Simon Fraser University. He's also been the lead developer on the entire PKP suite for approximately the last 2.5 years. Alec's going to talk about, first of all, generally just some of the development priorities that we see for the software in the near future, and a little bit about OJS. Another little known fact about Alec, at least certainly to you, is that he's got a twin brother. And for a very short time, we also had Alec's twin brother, Graham, working on the OCS software redevelopment. But when Graham had to move to Montreal, we basically cloned Alec and put him on that. So he'll reappear later in the session, essentially starting with a project that was worked on by his twin brother, Graham. Immediately to Alec's left is MJ Sahonis. MJ is just a very recent grad of the University of Toronto's School of Library Information Sciences, which, as he explained to me, technically means he's a librarian now. MJ's been working on various parts of the PKP project for the last few years, but very specifically a very interesting module that is not directly part of the PKP suite, but has some very interesting possibilities in terms of how it's going to just improve or enhance a lot of the workflows and address one of those sort of key troubling areas for people. Immediately to MJ's left is Mark Jordan. Mark is the head of library systems at Simon Fraser University Library, and he's also the very modest author of a book that appeared last year, which was Managing Library Digitization Projects. Mark's going to talk about the PKP Metadata Harvester and just some of the recent developments on it and where we'd like to see that going. And finally, down just at the very end of the table there is Kevin Stranick. Kevin is basically responsible for the PKP website and a lot of the documentation and information and everything else that's being put up there. And he's already complaining because all of the other folks have PowerPoints or various presentations, and he has nothing. So you may get the OJS in a 10-minute version from Kevin. But without further ado, I'm now going to start. And remember, guys, this is like speed dating. So you've each got 10 minutes, and then we stop and move on to the next person. And if we get through it quickly enough, there will even be some time for questions and a bit of discussion at the end. So without further ado, Alec, over to you.
About as romantic as speed dating, too, in my experience. Okay, so this says technical workshop on the screen. You'll be glad to know it's not the technical workshop because I wouldn't fit that into 10 minutes. I had trouble fitting it into 3 hours. But I borrowed this slide, and it's now wrong, so forgive me. Okay, I'll talk for a few minutes about the overall priorities for what we're going to be doing, some upcoming platform developments that we'll be working on over the next beginning this fall. And then I'll speak a bit about OJS and what's coming up for that, since that's the application you're mostly going to be familiar with. The next release that we're going to be working on is the 2.2 release of OJS, which is a major release, taking over from version 2.1.1, which has been out and around and heavily used for over a year. It's been quite a stable release, and we've been working on a lot of things while that's been minding the fort for us. We have over 150 fixes and additions going into that release. Most of those are already in CVS, and I know some people are already toying with that if they want to have a bit of a heads up. We'll be working on incremental releases with small upgrades and bug fixes and so on of both the Harvester and OCS, our conference software. We'll also be watching very closely because we've just released OCS version 2.0. I just checked, and in the last month, we've had about 600 downloads of OCS 2.0. But of course, we're in that holding period between where we release the software and it starts to appear. We're watching with great interest what's happening there. So we'll be helping with that. PKP platform. This is something that I've been talking about a lot at this conference because there's been a lot of interest in it. Currently, we have the three applications, the three core PKP applications, which are OJS, OCS, and the Harvester, sharing a large amount of PHP code. And come this fall, we're going to save ourselves a lot of trouble by taking that core shared code and splitting it out into a separate platform, which will free us up to do a lot of things. It means that we'll have an easier time maintaining our own code, which frees up time to work on more exciting developments. It means that we'll be able to improve all three applications as we start to refactor and move code into a separate repository. And it means also that we'll be able to make the PKP development platform available for ourselves and for also anybody else in the open source world to use to base their own further applications on. We've been discussing a number of options for that. Those are pretty exciting. So, some OJS priorities. These ones are the ones that will be showing up very soon. We have a large contribution coming in from an outside developer in Austria, I believe. One of the wonderful things about working with people online, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, I just know the first name. there's a major code contribution coming from Bozana, which is some multilingual enhancements. A few journals are currently using OJS in a multilingual setup, which there are currently multilingual options for OJS, but for journals that want to publish articles in several languages, there's currently a few workarounds that are a bit irritating that have to be done. We're going to be releasing with OJS 2.2 an overhaul of that system that's going to allow not only for multilingual articles, but multilingual journal metadata, article metadata, and so on. We'll be overhauling the entire metadata system. That's going to also free us up to be able to incorporate new metadata fields in a much more easy fashion. Currently, that involves modification of the code in about 10 different places, and hopefully that'll change in the future once we've got this enhancement in place. We're also going to be including a payment system, which is currently in version 2.0 of OCS, but will be backported to OJS for the next release. That includes currently PayPal support, and it will include any other payment method you care to implement based on plugins, and Juan's helping with that. We're going to include CAPTCHA support. If anybody's launched OJS and tried to open commenting to anonymous users, they'll discover very fast that the people who are going to be using that are those advertising fake Rolexes. So fortunately, unless you're running the journal of fake Rolexes, we'll be able to decrease the amount of posting there with CAPTCHA support. We also have in CVS, we have theming support, which has been very important. We do keep track of journals that we find via Google searches and so on, and I have to say, after Google searching for the thousandth, Kevin knows this as well, the thousandth journal, and finding it using the same color scheme as the first journal, one gets a bit tired of seeing those colors. So there's now, I believe, six or seven themes built into OJS that'll be coming out in the next release, and a plugin system for people to add their own themes as well. We've also done a lot of work since launching one journal in particular called, it's not our launch, but it's on our servers, so we got to hear a lot about it, called Open Medicine. Since that one came out, we've learned a lot about performance, and we've added a lot of caching and optimization and so on to OJS that'll be coming out the next release as well. So that's the near term. Those are mostly already completed and in CVS. So over the short term, we have had a lot of requests for review forms, form-based reviews, so that you'll be able to when you request a review, you'll be able to define a particular set of questions and so on, which is an often requested feature on the forum. We'll be adding that possibly for version 2.2. We've had an offer of that code from an outside user, and I'm hoping that'll come our way in time. That will save me a lot of question answering on the forum. I won't steal MJ's fire, but he's doing a lot of work on XML enhancements. And we'll also be doing some work in the short term on some further data exchange and on interoperability. One thing that we've been asked about quite a bit at this forum, this conference, and that we've had a lot of interest in, is the further compartmentalization of various parts of OGS, to separate the publishing system from the workflow system and to make the workflow system more modular so that we can better incorporate different types of workflows. There's been a lot of interest in that, both from journal users, from developers, from people who are making other systems that they'd like to have better interoperation with OGS. So we'll be addressing that in the fairly short term as well. Likewise, easier importing of back issues. Anybody who's worked with back issues and who hasn't had a lot of XML experience has probably learned a lot about XML, and we'd like to decrease the requirement for them to do so. So slightly longer term. Starting in the fall, we're hoping to expand the size of the team, and with that will come the opportunity to take on a lot of the things that we've been putting off to the side in favor of more critical developments. We'd like to spend a lot of time and effort improving the usability and the user interface of OGS, including a lot of help to indicate to all the various roles in the system where the submissions are and what items need to be addressed, so that you don't have to spend any time looking through the various queues to find out where a particular article is and what needs attention sooner than later. So we'll be adding some visual cues for that, and better guidance, especially for the less committed roles. We've spent a lot of time making, for example, the review process fairly straightforward, because reviewers don't tend to be committed to the process. If they have to jump through a few extra hoops to get through the review process, they may be sidetracked by some shiny object over there and not come back. So there's a definite vested interest in making the reviews as easy as possible. We want to focus on that. Likewise, the authors, some of the secondary processes, like author revisions of submission files, we'll be helping to guide them through that process. And as I mentioned, once the PKP platform has been split aside, we can hopefully compartmentalize and separate the various components so that we can better interoperate with different systems. And I believe next up I'll put on MJ.
We'll save for questions right to the end of all of the presentations.
How do you follow a guy with energy like that?
More slowly.
This may be a little slower. You may not recognize me, but I have been working with PKP and OJS most predominantly for a couple of years, and have been more involved lately. So if I haven't spoken with you and you don't know me, please do so. More recently, I've been working on a tool which is a companion product to the PKP suite, intended to support some of the XML workflow stuff that Alec had mentioned, and make it easier to move into that sort of new age kind of process. And I've dubbed this tool lovingly Lemonade. Bit of background, what the problem is, what technology exists, and how we're going to approach it, how I designed the application, and how it works, some limitations that exist right now, and where we're looking to go with it in the future. So what's it all about? Well, we want to go to an XML-based system for a number of reasons. There are a lot of journals, especially the sci-tech journals and the medical journals, are looking at XML archiving, are looking at more automated workflows. And we want to be able to render XHTML and PDF galleys automatically. The galley process and the layout process is very time-intensive, very labor-intensive. We want to be able to help make that easier and quicker and more reliable and more consistent as well. And also to add semantic markup, because that lets us do some really interesting things with citation analysis, metadata management, and the ability to manipulate the document. So really, instead of just treating documents as these, atomic black boxes within OJS, be able to break them apart once they're in XML and be able to do some more interesting integrated things with them, and as Alec would say, real rich functionality with them. Some real benefits for them. Again, like I mentioned, the reduced effort. And any of you who've been following some of the research about OJS recently noticed that First Monday has been evaluating it, and First Monday obviously will be publishing the proceeds of this conference. And they mentioned they're using XStyles, which is a commercial product. But XStyles is $20,000 for license, and they said about $15,000 per journal for customization. Some journals simply can't afford that. And in this day and age, especially with the availability of open source tools, we thought there must be a better way to allow smaller journals some of the same functionality with free tools and see if there's an open and free alternative for that. So that sounds great. We all would like to do that, but how are we going to do it? Well, there is a really good free open source tool, which we're using today, called OpenOffice, and a wrapper called Docfert, and that allows us to take articles in the kind of formats that authors are predominantly submitting, like Microsoft Word and RTF, and convert them to a new standard, the Open Document Standard. It's built on the LAMP platform, so the same platform as OJS and OCS, but a little bit more advanced. It's using the Cake PHP framework instead of the wonderful PKP framework for a number of reasons, and particularly the fact that we had some requirements for manipulating XML, so the DOM XSL functions. It works by best guess parsing, so a document goes into it, Lemonade makes some guesses about how it thinks the document is structured, and then it allows you the editor to do some human correction via a UI. The main goal of this is to help them with hard things. Anybody who's worked with XML knows it can be very onerous to deal with. Things like citations are very, very complicated, especially in certain XML schemas. We want to be able to help the editors do this without having to know XML, with the things that they're familiar with, a regular web-based UI. And it has to be intuitive. And so the approach that I took was to do what I called 5 steps to an XML document. And each of these steps, the tool will walk the person through, the editor through them, and that's all that's required. No specialized knowledge, so that was the goal. And as well, schemaless metadata. We didn't want to be tied to a particular schema. We're using the National Library of Medicine journal publishing schema right now because it's a standard for SciTech and medical journals, and it's a very, very rich schema, and that's our goal to aim to. But we're not tied to that one, and in fact, Erudit, who I think is represented here as well, has their own DTD schema, which we'd like to also implement into this and any other that are appropriate for a journal. So the tagline I came up with is XML never tasted so good. A bit of a diagram to explain how the flow works externally and to show that this is actually a companion product to OJS and even OCS, and not necessarily part of the PKP suite, but it's definitely designed to enhance the PKP suite for journals that are using them, but also it can be a tool for journals that are published in any other system or even anything else. Again, it works with a plugin system. We have one of the plugins created for generating HTML and PDF from OJS right now, and that will be in 2.2. But the workflow essentially works by taking the documents out of OJS, putting them into Lemonade, allowing this editing, and then directly into an institutional repository like PubMed Central, which is a great bonus for medical journals. It allows citation lookup. So citations, if they're not entered correctly, anybody who's edited a document knows that citations can be very onerous to edit. If you make mistakes, Lemonade works by automatically sending the information out and checking against via various web services and bring that information back and doing some matching to automatically correct your citations for you and insert data you're missing, such as PubMed ID, digital object identifier for those who are looking for cross-ref linking, author metadata and other information. So it makes the citation editing far, far easier and much more automated. And then again, moves that XML back into OJS and OCS for automatic rendering using this plugin in 2.2 to HTML and PDF galleys. So really, there's a round trip there in the way that we'd like to see it working with OJS and OCS to facilitate the layout and galley editing. A few screenshots, which I won't waste your time with, and I'd be happy to show anybody a demonstration, but we're sticking to 10 minutes. How am I doing? Some limitations. It's onerous to install. It's not as robust as we'd like to yet. It's a 1.5-2-person development. Juan and I have spent many hours on it. There's some limitations with the software. Currently, OpenOffice, for example, EndNote isn't supported by OpenOffice because it's a proprietary format. We only handle Vancouver style, which I thought was kind of fitting for the conference venue. And as I mentioned, only exports to NLM right now. But we're working on this. We're actively working with Open Medicine right now for them to use it for their workflow. So we're getting user feedback from them and using them to refine the tool. And they've been very, very supportive and very, very eager to use this. As I mentioned, integration with AJAX. We want to take advantage of AJAX and the existing, or rather the newest web technologies, and make this really a real cutting-edge app and take advantage of the rich UI that we can do with it. So we're not bound by some of the same platform restraints as we are with OJS and OCS. And then again, just more expanding and refinement of the tool. So I thought I would finish with this little quotation, which seems pertinent for anybody who's worked with XML. And as I say, I'll just leave it there and pass you on to the rest of the group.
Before I begin, I want to just clarify something Brian said. This is actually the first time that all of the PKP development team has been in one place at one time, including Juan. So this is a pretty momentous moment in this kind of obscure history of the Public Knowledge Project. Just here. Okay, so I'm talking about the Open Archives Harvester, and this is often considered to be the nerdy little brother of the two flagship applications, Open Journal Systems and Open Conference Systems. And I'm not the lead developer. Alec is the lead developer. I've written a couple of plugins for it, but I'm the guy who emails Alec long emails saying, Alec, how difficult would it be to get the harvester to do this? And then I wait with bated breath for, 5 minutes to 2 days. He responds and either says, this is really easy, we'll do it, it's up in CVS already, or are you nuts? Right. So just a brief outline. I want to talk about basically what the harvester is, since it's not a widely deployed application. Talk about some sample applications you can deploy it into, and talk about some possible directions for development in the future. Harvester basically is considered a search engine for the metadata that is produced by a variety of kinds of systems and that can be harvested, and I have a neat diagram in a couple of slides, via protocol currently, the only one we have, but a very robust one, called the Open Archives Initiative Protocol for Metadata Harvesting. And the repository systems, used in a generic sense, that support this protocol are the OJS and OCS, the PKP tools, DSpace, ePrints, ContentDM, there are many, many others. And I just want to illustrate that this is a common protocol, commonly deployed. The harvester is basically, like I said, a search engine. It provides a simple browse and really sophisticated search interfaces. And I've got a couple of screen snapshots, which I hope come out okay. Here's the browse by archive as the local, the default locale defines that term. Basically, the whatever system you're pointing it at will be identified in this list. This is a screen snapshot from the demo harvester that we support on the PKP website. This is the search interface, and one of the neat features about the advanced search interface is also, as you can see, a simple search interface which is omnipresent in the upper right-hand corner. One of the neat pieces of magic that Alec came up with is I said, I'd like to have a metadata schema, and could you populate a search form that based on that schema and based on some configuration options? And through his wizardry, he's able to affect that, and this is one example of it. So basically, what I mean by that is any field, any set of metadata elements that are in the current schema or combination of schemas shows up here as a field in the search interface, and you can remove and add fields as well to sort of modulate the amount of gore you expose to the end user, depending on the granularity and sophistication or simplicity of the metadata schema you're dealing with. This is the diagram that I was mentioning. Basically, the harvester, and this is not particular to the PKP harvester, this is any OAI-compliant harvester or service provider, goes out and pulls various OAI-compliant repository systems, pulls back metadata of various kinds, and puts them in, does something interesting with them. In the case of the PKP harvester, the interesting thing is an aggregated search engine. Features are it's built on the fabulous OJS 2.x code base, so it includes all the neat things, inherits all the neat things that it has. The Smarty templates, the reading tools are there and can be activated or deactivated, all sorts of neat stuff like that. It currently supports a fairly comprehensive set of currently used metadata schema in the wild. And provides a neat self-submission option where you can let it be open as the demo harvester that we support, we host does, and people can submit their own archives to it. Or you can close that off if you want to have more control as an administrator over what kind of virtual collection you're building. It supports plugins, which is, as Alec was suggesting, and you've heard various times if you attended any technical sessions during the conference yet, are a very flexible component of the OJS PKP code base. You can do things with it like aggregate all the OJS journals in a certain domain or OCS conferences in a certain domain, and you can do other things too, build virtual collections based on subject, institution, audience, political domain, or whatever you want. And to end off, the possible directions are we want more plugins, in particular more metadata plugins, possibly some more metadata harvesting protocols, even though OAI is probably the de facto these days. We all just recently decided to not develop a plugin to harvest simple delimited metadata because we thought that we could use an offshoot of the standard OAI protocol called the OAI Static Repository, where you can just point the harvester or any harvester at a big whopping XML file that's marked up in the OAI schema, and it will harvest that. So that's an interesting feature. More documentation. That's something I'm working on in a very uneven way, but that's, to my mind, the only current a flaw with the Harvester. It's not documented as well as the other two applications are. In some related work that I've been doing for the Canadian Association of Research Libraries, hosting a metadata harvester for all of the institutional repositories in that domain, I've come to appreciate the value of maintenance tools for repository managers. So we can let the repository managers inspect the metadata that's in their repositories that can help a harvester administrator like myself to get them to improve their metadata in ways that makes the whole search experience more positive for the end user. And when the day comes that the Dublin Core develops an a language for describing application profile schemas, it would be really neat to be able to drop that into the harvester so that we could validate repositories that claim to adhere to certain application profile schemas, which is a way of making sure that everything works right all the time. Thank you.
Brian kind of stole my fire by springing the twin brother thing. Where am I going?
F9.
F9? Okay. There we go. I think that's the right one. Nope. I was, he was supposed to be here instead of me presenting this, this being OCS priorities. I'm not sure why I'm bothering to say that because you probably wouldn't have noticed the difference.
You're not identical twins.
We are, yes.
No, but you don't look identical.
Easy for you to say. Talk to the mailman. Okay, so OCS priorities. OCS has been, we've been focusing on OJS since version 2 very heavily, and we've seen great success with it, lots of adoption, as Kevin has said, 1,000 journals, over 1,000 journals now. OCS has been a bit in the background because we've been focusing our development so much on OJS. I'm happy to say that we've finally been able to release a version 2 of OCS, which was based on the OJS 2.2 codebase, so it's a fairly fresh codebase. And that was released in May 17th, which is about 2 months ago now, I guess. So that's delightful. It's about time. The old version of OCS that we were replacing was released in 2004. That's forever ago in internet years, beginning of 2004. And we have been able to vastly improve the quality of the code. We're much more satisfied with the level of maintainability of it and also the security that we're able to offer now that we're up to a modern code base. You might ask, if you've seen the PKP 2007 website, why we're not using it for that website. And that is a bit of a black eye, I must admit. The reason is because we started the submission process and accepted enough submissions and so on using 1.x that by the time it came for us to release 2.x, we didn't want to uproot and supplant with a new website. The good news is there actually is a demonstration we put together for our own edification of the PKP 2007 conference in OCS 2.0. I was going to demonstrate it here, but I don't know if wireless is necessarily working, so I'm going to skip it. But I do have the URL, and I may post that on the 1.x conference website. It looks very nice. It's got all those new features that OJS is coming out with for version 2.2, like theming. It supports multiple conferences, so if you have a yearly conference, you can create an abstract instance of that conference, and then a recurring, say, 2005, 2006, 2007 event with customizations for each particular year. And it involves also many of the features that you've probably come to be familiar with in OJS, like a comprehensive and very flexible review system. So that's been released 2 months ago, and as I said earlier on, we haven't been able to yet see it being used in the wild, although we now have, in the last month, 600 downloads, which for a specific domain-specific kind of application, I think is quite a good statistic. So I expect we'll start seeing a lot of uptake fairly soon. I'm starting to answer questions on the forum and from users via email. And as we did with OJS 2.0 when it was released, it being a lot of new code, we are interested in seeing it being taken on and used and developed with in the same way that OJS has been really successful with. So we would like to hear what people are using it for, and we'd like to be able to help them along through the process if they run into any difficulties. So we anticipate in the future we're going to be starting to see some translations, some plugins, and we'll be continuing to keep the platform up to date, and it's now on par with OJS for code maintenance and features. So we're very excited about seeing that one launched. I'll turn off the screen for you. How's that?
Yeah, I didn't do this on purpose, but I've just realized that because I didn't make any PowerPoint slides, I can talk to you sitting down. I was trying to think about what I could contribute to this session because I'm not the technical whiz that the fellows sitting next to me are. And I thought a lot about all the people who are going to be coming to this conference, and even when I look out now and see the room practically full at almost 5 o'clock on a sweltering hot day after session after session after session, you're pretty amazing. So I thought I'd talk a bit about the PKP community and the kinds of contributions that have been made to this project and how important the wider community's been to the success that we've seen. The first one I wanted to mention in a little bit more detail, it's come up a little bit, but are the languages that are available for our software now. And I find that it's amazing to see that we have OJS available in 11 languages with an amazing breadth from Croatian, Japanese, German, Italian, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, Turkish that John mentioned last night, Vietnamese. It's a very impressive list. And those are the ones that have been completed. We know that out there people are working away. Hopefully most of them are still working away. Maybe some have taken a break. But there are people who are working on Arabic, Catalan, Chinese, Farsi, Greek, Hindi, Norwegian, Thai. I think it really speaks to the usefulness of OJS that people out there around the world have been inspired to do this work. We haven't done any of that translating. You know, we made it in English, and people out there were inspired to go out and do these translations.
But we did the French.
Well, we paid for the French.
We have a French translation.
We do, and it's good. OCS, the version 2, is out now that Alec mentioned, and it is just in English. But I was quite impressed from contacts on the support forum and other people that I've gotten to know virtually how quickly people became interested in translating this software too. So now I know that people are working away on a Catalan version of OCS, French, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish. This was just released 2 months ago, and people are on top of it already. And beyond the software, too, something that's important to know is a lot of these people have also taken on the documentation. So you can now find our guides in Japanese and Italian, Portuguese, and a variety of other languages. And I really appreciate that kind of work that people are doing. It's amazing for the whole project. One of the other kinds of contributions I wanted to mention are things that have already been touched on, of course, are the code contributions and the different plugins that are in development and are about to be contributed. We couldn't do all of this kind of work alone, and the work of so many volunteers have enhanced the software significantly. Some of the ones that Alec just mentioned, like the multilingual enhancements or the review forms, are going to make a great difference. John mentioned last night the subscription features to OJS were contributed by CJC and some folks in this room. Some other contributions that are sort of up and coming are the theme gallery, the opportunity to have a different look and feel to your journal. And we've gone ahead and created a half dozen or more alternative style sheets, but we're hoping that people will share their own creative endeavors and let us post those style sheets and let others choose from them, not obviously copy them directly, but be inspired by them, change them around a little bit, and have some different looks for the software. Something that doesn't get enough attention, I don't think, is the amount of work that goes into testing this software and the amount of work that volunteers put in to making sure that things like OJS, OCS, the Harvester are as solid as they are. We've had amazing responses from people all over the world who are excited about the software coming out, want to get their hands on it, and taking it out for 1, 2, 3, 4 test rounds, looking for all the problems, dutifully reporting the bugs. Amazing contributions. I wanted to make a brief word about answering questions on the forum, too. Many of you visited the support forum, and many of you have seen the incredible amount of work that Alec does answering 99.9% of those questions. But there's an increasing amount of answers that are starting to come from people who are using the software out in the field, and they see a question posted. And the problem is Alec answers questions in about 35 seconds, so it's hard to beat him to the punch. But if he's in Prague or something having a coffee and one takes maybe 10 minutes, occasionally you see somebody else jump in and answer that question. And that's amazing to have that kind of community grow, that kind of assistance. Another aspect is institutions that are providing, hosting, and supporting the use of our software independent of us. So while Simon Fraser University Library hosts several OJS installations, other institutions in Canada, like Athabasca University, Guelph, Queen's, Alberta, British Columbia, Northern British Columbia, University of Toronto, York, Windsor, that's just a few. They've all taken this software, seen the value of it, and are helping people in their community become OJS users and then part of our broader community. And libraries have played a very important role in the spread of the software in that way. So reflecting on what I'm talking about, I guess essentially what I'm doing is a sales pitch that if you're having a good time at the conference, if you've really gotten turned on to the whole idea of what PKP is doing, if you're, many of you are already using it, but if you're thinking of ways that you can get deeper involved, more deeply involved, we would really welcome your participation in any of these ways that I've just briefly outlined. If you want to do that, go to the support forum, create an account, check out what's going on there. Go to our website, see how things are growing, and contact us. Let us know you want to get involved. We'd be really happy to have you part of the whole broader team. Thank you.